This is the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we try to connect you to the people, places, and geography of what's happening in Israel. You need to understand what's happening in that region of the world so you can pray effectively, so you can understand how it affects us here in this country, and of course, there in the Middle East as well. Our guest today on the Middle East Report is AFN News Director Fred Jackson, American Family News. Fred, thank you for joining us today on the Middle East Report.
As always, John, great to be with you.
We have so much to talk about with what's going on in our country and how that affects things in Israel and the Middle East. And of course, American Family News, you all did an amazing job with the election coverage, and I want to commend you on that. Can you, at the top of the Middle East Report, just give us your perspective on the outcome of this election here?
Well, I was on another program here at American Family Radio this week, and I said, what has happened in this country politically in the last 9 years is going to make a fantastic book. Someone's going to get very rich when they write that history. Stop and think. You know, you had, Donald Trump coming down that escalator in 2015, a business tycoon, never had political office before, saying, I'm going to run for president. And we all know what happened in that election. He was elected, but a strong leftist element in this country went absolutely ballistic. He was persecuted from the get-go, the whole Russia collusion thing and many other elements. We come all the way to 2020, and Donald Trump loses that election. Joe Biden comes in, and then, former President Trump faced this barrage of legal problems. He was in courts in New York, in courts in Florida, federal charges against him. And despite all of that, you know, John, other people, when I give some thought to this, other people would have said, you know, the heck with this. I'm not going to run again and put up with all of this stuff. But Donald Trump has a different fabric than most of us. He has that New York fighting attitude, and he fought through all of that opposition to announce that he was running again. And, you know, he made this point a number of times. He said, you know, what has happened to me, especially in the last 4 years, he said he believed that it could happen to any American citizen. And one of the things that drove him to run again was to ensure that that kind of, you know, a judicial opposition to a person with a different political point of view did not take over in this country. And I think that was one of the reasons for his success in the election this week, that the American people did not like the direction the country was going. Now, the American people had a spectrum of concerns, the economy, what was happening on our southern border. Those were two of the big ones. But also, John, I think the moral problems that entered into this, the agenda, the transgender agenda of the Biden administration, you know, guys saying, I feel like a girl today, therefore I want to go into the girls' bathrooms, to the girls' change rooms, and I want to play on girls' teams. That, I think, brought a lot of politically left people in, because moms of daughters who wanted to play soccer or volleyball said, wait a minute, I may be a liberal, but I don't want some guy beating up on my daughter. And so there were things, all of these sorts of things came into play, I think, to help Donald Trump win the election.
It is definitely a new day here in our country. We know that with President-elect Donald Trump. And now what we are hearing, of course, he is a strong foreign policy leader. He has proven that in his first term and will once again prove that here in his second term. And what we're hearing in the Middle East is from Hamas, we need to end this war now that President-elect Trump is going to take office. What are you hearing about the impact of this election in regards to Israel?
All right. Well, we do know from President Trump's first term in office, he was an incredible ally of Israel. We know such things as moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He was, without question, a great friend of Israel. I think one of the problems the Biden administration faced, and it had some impact, I believe, on the election, is that the Biden-Harris administration was seen as not a strong ally of Israel. I'll put it that way. So I think it's very interesting. We are told that on election night, when it became clear that Donald Trump was going to be the winner, the first phone call he received from a foreign leader was Prime Minister Netanyahu. I was not surprised by that. I think Prime Minister Netanyahu and Donald Trump have had a long friendship. A friendship that was based on the reality is that Donald Trump believes in Israel. He really does. And, you know, it is going to be very interesting to see how things unfold. So we have a better relationship right off the bat between the incoming United States President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Now, the question is, and Canada Trump certainly addressed this from time to time, that, you know, the war that's going on between Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah has to end. So I think, and it was very interesting, and this is another part of the element, John, is that the Arab community in Michigan were strong backers of Donald Trump. Now, does that mean they are strong backers of Israel? I don't think so. But they were, and I heard some speeches from the Arab community there in Michigan saying, we believe that Donald Trump can bring peace back to the Middle East. So, and I kind of scratch my head. I say, okay, so why are they talking this way? And I think it is that Donald Trump, I think, will be able to go in and say, you know, this has to stop. I think there are opponents, Muslim opponents of Hamas. And now I think there will be a coalition. Perhaps Egypt will be involved with this. We know what Donald Trump did with the Abraham Accords during his first term in office. Somehow, with God's help, I believe, he is able to bring elements together that have been torn apart over the last 4 years. So I'm fairly optimistic. I'm not sure how long this is going to take, but I believe the current situation that there is going to be. Now, I think there's always going to be tension between Hamas, Hezbollah, and Israel, a certain degree of tension. That's just been there. But I believe there's going to be a solution to the current crisis. And I will tell you another thing that happened on election night within 12 hours. The Iranian currency plummeted. Now, people may say, okay, why did that happen? Well, here's my guess on that. They know that Donald Trump, in his first term, went tough on Iran, put checks in place on Iran, to stop them from funding these terrorist groups, Hamas and Hezbollah. So I think the Iranian currency, the people who run the finances in that country, understand that Donald Trump will likely come back now and do much the same thing in his second term. He will put Iran in check. If Iran is put in check, if Donald Trump is able to stop them funding the Hamas and Hezbollah groups, then I think that will be part of this element that comes about that brings at least a degree of peace in the Middle East.
You know, it's interesting, Fred. Iran, of course, has been threatening to attack Israel for Israel's, you know, reprisal against them. And now Iran has kind of on silent, you know, talk right now. They're not saying much about the attack. And you have to believe that is because of this election, that former president and now president-elect Trump is going to be in office, and he's a strong leader.
Yes, very much so. You know, another problem there in the Middle East is the Houthi rebels, which are also funded by Iran. I don't think you will have from the Houthi rebels the actions that we have seen, firing on U.S. vessels with missiles. I think the warning will go to them if that kind of action is to continue. You will see a response from the United States military that we have not seen thus far. So I think there's, as the old saying is, the Iranians, Hezbollah, Hamas understands there's a new sheriff coming to town.
Yes.
And they will have to put things in check. I think, you know, let's face it, one of the things that has happened in the last 4 years, because a person like Donald Trump was not in office, is that we have seen a an alliance that has grown between Iran, China, and Russia. That is one of the things that I think Donald Trump is going to address. And he will do it with, I believe, the economic power of the United States. But also, he has said during the campaign, Donald Trump, that he believes he can bring about a cessation of the Russia-Ukrainian war. I'm kind of anxious to see that. But I think he can do the same kind of talking that he has done in the past with the Chinese leadership. So there's a lot of optimism that perhaps we will see a more peaceful global situation once Donald Trump gets in office.
You know, one of the things that we have to remember is that under the Biden administration, they enabled Iran with all of the oil exports that this administration, this current administration, allowed to give them the money to fund all the terrorism around the world.
Yes, very much so. And that's why I say you need to be very watchful of this alliance between Iran, Russia, and China, and now North Korea, obviously, because North Korean troops are now part of the Russian element fighting in Ukraine. So I think, you know, it was very interesting, and I'm not the first to point this out. When Donald Trump was in office, we didn't have the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. We certainly didn't have the Hamas open attack against Israel. So I think what you're going to see in Donald Trump is him sitting and talking with the Chinese leadership that has been providing weapons. Iran has been providing weapons to Russia, the whole oil transportation thing. So there's going to be a lot of elements there that Donald Trump has to deal with. But he has proven during his first term in office, he is able. And I think the Chinese, the Russians, Putin and Russia, the Iranians understand that when Donald Trump makes a threat, he will carry it out. It isn't just words. And I think that is what has been lacking in the last 4 years. You know, Biden, I remember a couple of his news conferences when he was challenged about what are you going to do with Iran. And he said, my message to Iran is don't. Well, a lot of people saw, well, wait a minute, they're still doing it. So they didn't take your message, Joe Biden, when you said don't as a threat. I think when Donald Trump says don't, they understand that he means business.
And you are completely accurate on that for sure, Fred. We're talking to Fred Jackson. He is the news director for American Family News. And I want to encourage you to download the app for AFN. You can do that in all the app stores for Android and iOS devices. You can go to AFN.net and get the latest information there. I have two questions for you.
Sure.
One is the Jewish support for President, now-elect Trump, was huge this election. I want you to talk about that. And then prior to the election, there was some polling that was done in Israel as far as how the people in Israel felt about President Trump. Can you talk about the Jewish support? Much of it, you know, in the past, you know, going to Democrats, very liberal, but now a much larger support going to now President-elect Trump. And then, of course, the polling there in Israel for the president.
Well, let's start with the polling in Israel. There was no question when polls were done in Israel of who they preferred, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. It was hands down for Donald Trump because I believe, as Prime Minister Netanyahu, I know, believes they have a stronger ally in Donald Trump. Now, with regards to the Jewish support for Donald Trump in this election, we saw certainly an increase, and in the past there. The majority of Jews in this country have supported the Democrats, and there's a whole philosophy thing going on, kind of more socialistic attitude. But my belief is that what has happened goes back to October of last year, John, when within 24 hours in this country, we saw such a hatred on our university campuses for Jewish students, right up to, and it's continuing, this past week in DePaul University, two Jewish kids attacked on the campus of that university, and they're looking for suspects. They have pictures of them. So I think what happened with the Jewish community in this country is that they saw the hatred displayed against Jews for simply being Jews. The Jewish students were not provoking anybody. It was shocking to many of us. As I say, within 24 to 48 hours, thousands of students protesting in favor of Hamas and against Israel and calling Israel an apartheid nation. We know, John, that is not true at all. So I think the Jewish population in this country, they were shocked by that. They were shocked when they saw the president of Harvard and the president of the University of Pennsylvania kind of putting their hands up in the air when they were asked about the anti-Semitism on campus. And they started talking about freedom of speech. And everybody knows that if this was another group of students, another minority, this kind of thing would never be tolerated. These protesters would have been expelled. They would have been gone. And the kind of minuscule charges that were leveled against these students who were breaking into campus buildings and all of that sort of thing, and they're given a little slap on the wrist. So I think what happened, the strong anti-Israel, anti-Semitism element on our campuses shocked Jews in this country, and I think that had a lot to do with them showing greater support for the Republicans and for Donald Trump this time around.
Well, President-elect Donald Trump addressed this anti-Semitism in many of his, yes, you know, campaign stops and speeches across the country, and he's very strong, mm-hmm, on stopping this on the college campuses and what's going on here in our country. This rise of anti-Semitism here in our nation is just horrific, Fred, and it's not just here. What do you know about what happened in Amsterdam just a few days ago? We had this terrible thing that happened there with Jewish people.
Yeah, there were many Jewish people from Israel who had gone to Amsterdam for a soccer match. And what we know at this point is that these Jewish soccer fans, who are obviously cheering for their team, were singled out and they were attacked in various places in Amsterdam. I think at least 5 were sent to hospital. Another 60 or so were injured. We know at this point that Israel is sending aircraft to Amsterdam to pick these fans up and bring them back to safety. But, you know, John, it's in one way I was surprised, but in another way not, because it is part of the anti-Semitism that is going on around the world. And it has just been exposed in the last year or so. And it's been a wake-up call that, and it's spiritual, John. Let's face it. Israel is not a threat to anybody. Israel responds to threats, but it is not a threat. The nation of Israel just wants to exist and to take care of its citizens and to be a good global citizen. It really does. And so it's been a wake-up call, but I think, as I say, it's very spiritual. It's all part, you know, the Jews are God's chosen people. And you have, you know, Satan hates the Jewish people because of that. And so crowds that are under the influence of Satan are displaying what's in their hearts against the Jewish people. So, you know, I think it's a good thing that we are seeing this. And let me explain what I mean by that, because we don't just have to say we think there's anti-Semitism out there. We have seen it on display. And hopefully as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, we can respond when people ask us questions. Why all this anti-Semitism? I think we can respond by saying that is just, you know, part of what the Bible teaches us. It's been out there because God chose the Jewish people to be a special element for him, to be a witness, to be evidence of the power of God, because he has chosen these people. He has blessed them in a very certain way. And so we can respond with biblical truth and hopefully use the opportunity when those questions come to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well said, Fred. And I've always said that the covenant that God gave to the Jewish people through Abraham for the land and to bless nations and all of that, you know, the enemy, he wants to come in and try to, oh, we're going to take that away That covenant, well, he can't do that. The enemy cannot do that. Those covenants will stand forever because they were given by Almighty God. And so that's an amazing thing. This election that took place, and of course we have President-elect Donald Trump ready to take office in January. How did you see the evangelical vote in this election? I mean, were they thinking about Israel? Were they thinking about how Trump, you know, was going to help Israel? I mean, how do you see that?
Well, I think for certain within the evangelical community, the true conservative evangelical community, there has always been support for Israel, for the Jewish people. It is Genesis chapter 12, you know, I will bless those that bless you, curse you, curse those that curse you. So we are aware as conservative evangelicals, Bible-believing Christians, that that wasn't a moment in time that applies to us today. So I think once again, what has happened, especially to Israel since the Hamas massacre of last October, was a wake-up call even to strong evangelical Christians that the threat to Israel is real, that Israel wasn't attacked because it's being mean to the Palestinian people. You know, as others have said, the day before that attack by Hamas, they were living in relative peace together, and Hamas initiated this. So I think it was a wake-up call, but also the way the Biden-Harris administration treated Israel as their war against Hamas has gone on, and it seemed that Biden and Harris were removing that support and putting the onus on Israel to end that war. Of course, Israel couldn't end it because the enemy is still alive and still attacking them. And so people started to understand the victim here is Israel. The victim is not Hamas. And so I think all of that came together, along with all the anti-Semitism they saw on our university campuses. Evangelical Christianity saw that as well. They wanted somebody in the White House. The evangelical community wanted somebody in the White House that would be there to do this country's best to protect and be a good ally, a dependable ally of Israel. So I think that helped to drive out. We understand that 8 out of the 10 polling that was done by the Associated Press, 8 out of 10 evangelical Christians said they voted for Donald Trump. I think his support of Israel was one of the reasons they did that.
Well, we saw that during this election, and we know that, looking at the Democratic Party, the anti-Semitism that exists in that party, just tragic and so sad. We saw that on full display over the last 4 years with the AOC types and the Tlaib and all the different people there in the Democratic Party. So just tragic. Mm. We just have a few minutes left, Fred, and I want to give you an opportunity to just address our AFR family out there on why should we support Israel, what they can do in that regard, and just your heart, you know, for the land of Israel and the Jewish people.
Well, because God has chosen them, it's all there. I guess the answer to your question, John, is in the Bible, that God has chosen them. They need the same salvation that we do. But God has chosen them to manifest himself, his power through them. And we have seen that. Just a little knowledge of history of what has happened to the Jewish people through the through the ages, as Satan has sought to attack them. We don't need to remind people of the Holocaust. And as I say, in most recent history, Israel was just motoring along, minding its own business, when that October 7th attack occurred from Hamas. And we saw the evil that was on display in that. And people say, well, why would they do that? Well, they do that because they hate the Jewish people. They hate the Jewish people because they are God's chosen people. And, there was a good education in all of that. And as I say, I hope evangelical Christians, when they are asked questions now about all of this, what is behind all of this? First, we can take the opportunity to educate people. And it was very interesting. I don't know how much time we have left. There was a clip from Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was out campaigning for Biden and Harris the other day, just in the last week or 10 days. And he was explaining about when he was president, he had deals on the table with the Palestinian people, deals that would have given them Eastern Jerusalem and all of these, and they turned it down. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, people have to be reminded that the Jews were there first, not the Palestinians. This is Bill Clinton. He was out campaigning for Biden and Harris, but he stated that publicly. People need to be reminded that the Jews under King David were there long before the Palestinians. So I thought, wow, there's Bill Clinton. And but Bill Clinton understands biblical history to a certain extent, at least. And so that was very enlightening that he would take that time in a crowd of Biden-Harris people to educate them about what the Bible says. Isn't it strange, the people that God uses sometimes to bring that reality about?
That is so true, Fred. And I just want to ask everybody to go to AFN.net, download the AFN app for American Family News. You all do such an incredible job with the news and information that you provide. You're not going to get this anywhere else. So can I just ask you, as you're listening here to the Middle East Report, please go to your app store for iOS and Android, download that app, get that on your mobile device. That way you'll be able to have it just at one click and you'll be able to get all the news and information. I appreciate everything that you all do. And one thing I've been saying, Fred, since this election is finished now, is that we as believers have a responsibility not just to sit back and say, oh, the next 4 years are going to be great. We have a responsibility to pray for President-elect Trump. Several attempts on his life. Pray for the people that will surround him. We have that responsibility.
Absolutely. We have the responsibility now to pray as he's putting his team together, that he'll bring a team of people, advisors in place that are going to be supportive of him and supportive of his agenda, to advise him of smart things to do. Because he needs that. I think he learned a lot in his first time in office, his first 4 years. His sons have said, yeah, we made mistakes, and we're not going to make the same mistakes this time.
Fred Jackson, American Family News Director, thank you for joining us today on the Middle East Report. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for the good work that you all do.
You are welcome, sir.
I want to encourage you to download a podcast of the show. You can get that wherever you get your podcast, or on all the major podcast platforms. And of course, you can always go to AFR.net, and you can download the show and listen to the show right there. Thanks for listening to the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley.